Hello everyone, it's Julie. And we're continuing our chat with Robert Pickersville, who is the Marketing Manager of Intuit Maryhill. Hello again, Robert.
Hello there.
You've kindly agreed to talk to us about the shopping centre in general. Maryhill isn't just about retail shops, is it?
No, not at all, no. So we have a number of food outlets as well, because we know people want to obviously dine and make a full day of their shopping trip. And actually, as we start to invest more in the centre, that's an area that we are looking to grow and actually make more of it, really, in terms of the food and leisure aspect.
There's a huge demand, isn't there? It's always busy there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And really, it's essential for us. If we want people to stay longer, we need to make sure that they've got plenty of places to eat and drink.
That's probably why it's quite a good idea not to have parking charges, isn't it?
Yeah. We're quite clear on our aim that we never want to have parking charges.
I mean, it's been mooted from time to time, but...
Yeah, it has.
I mean, 2 hours just wouldn't be enough for Maryhill, would it, really?
No, it wouldn't. And if you look at most kind of regional shopping centres, like Maryhill, they don't generally have parking charges. And it's because we want to draw people from further away. And if they're coming from further away, they're going to stay for longer. So it wouldn't feel right for us to be charging people and penalising them for staying longer.
No.
So our aim is never to do that.
Mm. Although, I read you'd got 10,000 parking spaces.
Yeah.
It's never enough, is it?
I know. We very rarely actually get fill air car parks and get to total capacity. And a lot of people, I'm aware that kind of busy times when it comes to Christmas, it can be difficult and it can actually be a little bit off-putting when people kind of try and approach the centre. But we do as much as we possibly can when it comes up to Christmas or just busy weekends when we anticipate. We talk to local councils about getting what we call more green light time. So we change the sequence of traffic lights around the centres as well.
Oh, do you? Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah. And we're always trying to encourage people to come by public transport as well. And we're working very closely with Transport for West Midlands to develop a transport plan for the centre over the coming years.
Yes, you're going to change that a little bit then, the...
And actually, from January 2017, we'll start developing the bus station on the site as well, and making that a little bit better as well.
Mm. And of course, we've got the cinema, haven't we?
Yes, Odeon Cinema. That's right.
Which is very popular, I think.
Yes, it is. Yeah, they do well from what we understand from them, those type of things. So like cinema, there's other leisure aspects that we were quite keen on as well. Things like bowling alleys, things
be good.
Yeah. So it's more of a kind of, we can elongate somebody's visit, and they've got more reasons to visit as well. So they can stay a little bit longer and actually have a full day with a family or friends and, get a full day.
It's just made me smile because we went to Centre Parks with the family at Easter, and my husband and I had to show the boys how to bowl, and we did very well indeed, but we couldn't walk for a week afterwards.
No, it's funny, isn't it?
But, I mean, at our age, we just sort of... drop the ball and hope that it would.
Well, there's always those kind of little metal contraptions.
Do you know, you see, when Rob and I learnt to go 10-pin bowling, there weren't these guards. I don't know if our listeners know this, but now down each lane, the side of each lane, there are what they call guards, aren't they?
I guess so, yeah.
And so the ball never goes off, it just bounces back, which I think is great.
And you can be quite lucky by it as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
It can bounce off several times and you get a strike.
It can be quite impressive, yes. Now, I was surprised when I was looking back into Maryhill. I think it's been open since the mid-1980s.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. It's obviously it was a phased development because it is so large that it wasn't all done.
I was born, Richardson brothers, I
that's
think.
That's right, yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I was born in 83.
You're a mere babe, whereas I remember it in detail.
Yeah. And we this year we celebrated the 25th anniversary of the monorail.
If you remember
the monorail, yeah. So the
but it's not running now, is it?
It's not running in this country. It's running in Australia, actually, and still running well for a shopping centre in Australia. It was never really viable for us. It never really kind of took off. Never particularly
didn't
worked.
Really go anywhere, did it? I suppose it was.
No.
Was it the waterfront down?
That's
to
right. Yeah. So it didn't really serve a purpose apart from a kind of. It was interesting and fun, but it's still remembered so fondly by our shoppers, and people still ask about it.
Do they really?
Yeah. And so this year, because it was a 25th anniversary, we thought we've got to mark the occasion and do something special. So We went up to the monorail station, which is the third floor above Marks and Spencer's, where it is currently. And we took from there some of the signage and things like the clock and things like that. We had, and ticket machines, turnstiles, and we brought them all downstairs into the shopping centre. We've created a nice display.
Do you know, I wondered what that was all about.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
I thought, oh, are they opening the monorail again? Oh, yeah. That's what it was. That's interesting.
We did, because when we looked at some of the artwork around it, I said, we've got to make it very clear that this is, we're not starting the monorail again, because people are really interested in it. It's one of the main questions we get asked, but we still want to share that experience with people. We still know people talk about it, remember it very fondly. It's part of our history, you know, so we want to talk about it.
Yes, I think it was the Richardson twins who were very well-known developers in the area who started it.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Right at the very beginning.
Yeah.
So, plans for the future then? We're all a bit shocked at the closure of both BHS and Sainsbury's.
Yes. Yeah.
Is it part of your brief to find new shops, new people to move in, or is that another part of the organisation?
Yeah, so not mine directly. No. It's obviously a completely different kind of skill and forte, I guess. So it's our asset team that drive that. BHS was obviously part, the loss of BHS was obviously part of the national picture. Mm. And obviously our thoughts were, and currently are as well, with staff that have obviously suffered job losses because of that. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a very popular shopping centre.
Yes.
It's in the top 1% of all the shopping centres in the country by popularity and by size. And we know we'll be able to fill those spaces. It's not a matter of kind of if, it's actually just
it's
when.
Yes. Yeah. So you can't give us any insight into that at all.
I'm afraid not, no. So okay. Obviously discussions are ongoing. Mm-hmm. All I'll say is I've got faith in our asset team to bring in the very best retailers and hopefully the listeners here will kind of believe in us as well.
It should be quite exciting. Yeah. Now, in our previous interview, you mentioned briefly about your staff and how many people work there. And you said it went up to 10,000?
It's about 7,000 at Christmas, yeah, including all the Christmas temps that the retailers.
And then you've got engineers, I suppose.
Yes, so we have we call it the technical service team. So,
okay.
So
that's a good term. Yeah, yes.
Yeah. So they're engineers and carpenters, people like that can obviously maintain the centre. Then we have a customer service team who are based at two customer service desks, but they also correspond with people digitally on social media as well. So there's kind of they've got that aspect to their role as well. And we have cleaners.
I was going to say, it's always immaculate, isn't
it? Yeah. Well, we try.
I think it's so, so clean that people would not dream of dropping things. I'm sure they do drop things, but it's obviously dealt with very quickly.
Yeah. So I mean, the cleaning team is our biggest team.
Is it?
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. And we have obviously people that you see in the daytime who go around and obviously get spillages and pick up litter.
Yes. And
then each night we have a night team as well. So the centre closes, but we still have security on site and we have a cleaning team on site as well to actually do more of a deep clean of things that we can't get to during the daytime.
So the public has no idea really what goes on behind the scenes, do they?
I know, and I didn't until I started there as well. No. But it literally never sleeps. There's a lot of goings on, and onto the cleanliness of it as well. It's something that everybody really takes pride in, and myself as a manager and all my team, whenever we're out at lunch breaks, or even actually if we're visiting the centre during our shopping time, like on a weekend,
yes,
it's kind of like really
spotting things.
we pick up all the litter, and
do
it's
you?
Yeah. I've been around with my wife and kid before, and I've seen an empty packet of crisps, and I've gone over and I've picked it up,
well
and
done.
You know, but it all adds up, you know, and it makes the centre really what it is.
Well, thank you very much indeed for coming to talk to us again about it, and I think we're all very proud of our local shopping centre.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank
Thanks for having me on
much.
Here.